Kathy Edwards, president at Global Business Solutions. Jobs in the state are tied to exports. Tell me why they're under threat. It says because congressional inaction on the Export-Import Bank.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Export-Import Bank to begin with, who they are and what they do.
Something that our listeners might be a little lost on.
Yeah, EXIM is not a well-known government organization for the average person because they are very specific to business and in particular supporting export of Made in America products and services overseas. It's not a new program. It was actually started shortly after the Great Depression in 1934. So it's not part of any stimulus package. It's not a Reagan program. It's not an Obama program. It's an American program. What the EXIM Bank does is ensure that U.S. goods and services are sold on a level playing field with other countries around the world. And most importantly, they support small businesses in their desire to increase their sales by selling overseas. It's very hard for a small business to get started in export because of the risk involved in not being paid. So EXIM's role is to ensure that small business exporters will be paid by examining their buyer's creditworthiness, by examining the country that they're selling to, by examining those on the list of terrorists to make sure they're not selling to anyone on the denied persons list. And all of these things keep exporters safe in selling their products overseas. If a small business or a medium-sized business or a large business is selling to an entity overseas and something happens, if the buyer dies or goes bankrupt, if there's a tsunami that washes them off of the face of the earth, if war breaks out while their goods are on the ocean and their buyer can't get the goods, then the U.S. government is going to provide a safety net for those exporters by paying them 95% of the bottom line invoice. So that's very, very powerful for small businesses that can't risk not being paid. So they start off with one export, and ultimately 70% of their business is an export. And by EXIM not being there, what that means is that all of this work that's been done or is trying to be done by selling their products overseas, the brakes are on, and everything has to be put in reverse.
The bank's charter expired on June 30th. It had been unable to approve new applications to help these overseas buyers, as you said, get financing to purchase U.S. products. I'm seeing bigger products, though, on my list of items. You're talking about smaller businesses, but I see things like airplanes, heavy equipment, digging machines, like Caterpillar machines. What types of products go overseas?
Well, let me explain the three different types of programs that EXIM has, and I think that you will have a better understanding and your listeners will have a better understanding. The program that I've been talking about, the small business program, that's what's called the credit insurance program, and that is for short-term sales, 30, 60, 90 days, up to potentially a year. The second program that EXIM has actually supports U.S. banks. And let's say that there's a hospital that is being built in Costa Rica, and there's a manufacturer of hospital beds in North Carolina, and there are manufacturers of hospital equipment in North Carolina, and there is an engineer in North Carolina that's going to do work on designing this hospital. And so there are a lot of U.S. and North Carolina products that can go into this hospital, but it's going to take 2, 3, maybe 4 years for everything to be paid. In this case, a bank may want to be involved. They may want to loan money to that hospital in Costa Rica so they can buy these U.S. products, but the bank is not able to. So Ex-Im comes to the bank and says, we like this. We looked at it. It's creditworthy. We feel very good about this, and so we're going to guarantee to you, Mr. Banker, that if you loan this money, then if it goes in default, then we will pay you. The U.S. government will pay you. Now, 15% of that is collected up front, and the rest is paid semi-annually. This is called a medium-term program. The products that you're talking about are actually the loan program, and this is where the big controversy is. Let's talk about Boeing, because for a while, Ex-Im was called Boeing's bank. Boeing manufactures airplanes, as we know. They manufacture wide-body aircraft, and there are only two manufacturers of wide-body aircraft in the world, Boeing and Airbus in France. If Air India needs to buy wide-body aircraft, they can either buy from Boeing or they can buy from Airbus. And the reason that they make the decision who to buy from, first of all, certainly has to do with quality and dependability. But next, it has to do with financing availability. Financing availability is in every single developed country. A program like Ex-Im exists in every single developed country. China, France, Germany, Canada, all of the developed countries have these programs. What this does is it allows Ex-Im Bank to loan the money to Air India to buy wide-body jets from Boeing. They charge interest. Ex-Im Bank charges interest. And that interest actually goes back into the Treasury. Last year, Ex-Im returned to the Treasury over $600 million that they had collected from selling U.S. products to foreign buyers. So you've actually got three programs. You've got the small business program being the insurance, which accounts for 90% of the transactions that Ex-Im does. You've got the medium-term program, where Ex-Im supports U.S. banks in lending money overseas so that projects can use U.S. made in America products and services. Then you've got the lending program for the large items like Boeing, like Caterpillar, like GE.
You highlight the small businesses, and that's how we started the conversation. So let's focus on that for a moment, because the small business person in North Carolina may be considered a farmer. GDP, number one gross domestic product out of the state, is our agriculture. Lots of tobacco from North Carolina goes to China. I know that for sure.
Does Correct.
Export-Import Bank do anything for farmers, or do they fall under a different category, say USDA?
Well, they could do either or. They do have a lot of programs that they can tap into with the USDA. But Ex-Im can also support the sale of farm goods. Sweet potatoes are a big product that's supported by Ex-Im. Tobacco is supported by Ex-Im. Pork is supported by Ex-Im. The sale of live cattle is supported by Ex-Im. When Ex-Im supports products like this, agricultural products, they are actually able to support it at 98% rather than 95%. Because we are such an agricultural country. So agriculture and commodities can be supported at a higher level.
Where are we now on Capitol Hill with putting the program back on solid ground?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that most congressmen and congresswomen support reauthorization of exports. But they cannot get the vote to the floor. There are a very few Republicans that hold very high offices, and they have the power to select what goes to the floor of the House for a vote. EXIM has to pass the House first and then go to the Senate for approval. Since they couldn't get it to the floor of the House for a vote, the Senate actually tacked it on to the highway bill that they passed in September, just before they went on recess. In North Carolina, Richard Burr voted in favor of EXIM. Tom Tillis voted against EXIM. But it did pass. Then it went to the House, and the House rejected the bill, and now they want to come up with their own highway bill. Because the chairman of the Finance Committee would not let EXIM go to the floor for a vote, there's something called a discharge petition, which is a petition signed by representatives of the House that will override the chairman and allow it to go to the floor for a vote. That passed by 281 votes, which is what was required. What that means is that it now can go to the floor of the House for a vote no earlier than the 29th of this month. So we're hopeful that it will go to the floor for a vote on the 29th. We know that we've got enough votes in the House and the Senate to pass this. This is a situation where a lot of businesses, small and large, are suffering and losing business because of a handful of representatives that really don't know what EXIM is or what it does, which is very sad because Congress actually mandates the rules that EXIM follows. If Congress says you can't do this, then EXIM can't do it. They write the rules. So right now, Congress, by not acting on this, has caused 300 jobs from GE to go to France. They've caused jobs to go to Canada. These big companies don't need Congress as much as the economy of the United States needs these big companies. These big companies can go anywhere and get the financing they need. It's the small companies that are going to suffer, and the economy of the United States, because jobs are going to go to Germany, they're going to go to China, and it makes me wonder exactly who are these congressmen representing? Who benefits from the shutdown of the bank? It's certainly not U.S. business. It's just a real strange thing to me. The only thing I can say is that politicians aren't business people, and business people aren't politicians, and they just need to pass this and get out of the way so that we can increase our exports and sell abroad.
You posed the question, who's for and who's against it in terms of the politicians. You said the vote in the Senate had Richard Burr voting yes, Tom Tillis voting no. So there is a split in the state of North Carolina, at least. And in the House, you say most support reauthorization but can't get the votes on the floor because of high-ranking congressmen and women who are either, A, opposed to the program or don't know enough about it to be able to make an educated guess. What is the holdup, and does it have anything to do with John Boehner? You said the earliest that it can get to the floor for a vote is the 29th. John Boehner's last day is the 31st. With a speaker not yet decided to succeed him, could that hold up this getting to the floor?
John Boehner has promised to give EXIM attention before he leaves. John Boehner, of his own will, can't just say, okay, I'm going to override everybody and do this. John Boehner does support EXIM Bank and is hopeful that it will go to the floor. If another speaker comes on board, it's possible that that could affect it, but I don't know specifically. With this discharge petition, I believe that it's going to have to receive attention, whoever the Speaker of the House is. Although John Boehner is a supporter of the EXIM reauthorization, I'm not sure that his being gone would prevent a vote from going to the floor.
I have one last question, and then we can wrap it up. When it comes to the amount of money lost that you talk about in terms of national dollars going back into the Treasury, as well as small businesses and large losing money because of their inability to export products overseas, can you give me an example of how much money has not been made or what hasn't been able to change hands because the bank charter expired on June 30th? Here we are now in late October. Can you give me an example of years past, what kind of business was done in that period, let's say the third quarter of a year?
Well, I can't give you those kind of numbers, but I can give you some numbers on my clients in North Carolina and the effect of them losing their policy. In September, 10 small businesses in North Carolina lost their EXIM credit insurance policy. And that loss equates to $4.65 million in potential sales. So what that means is that these companies are no longer able to accept new export orders. They cannot accept new buyers. Their banks will no longer advance to them against foreign receivables because banks cannot advance unless the receivables are insured. Any bank loans using this collateral of foreign receivables will be called. And U.S. manufacturers that have sold to export buyers on open accounts in the past are now having to ask for cash in advance, which is never a good thing. I would like to say that there's a lot of information available online at exportersforexim.org, exportersforexim.org. There's a lot of statistics. There's a lot of numbers. There is a lot of information specific to North Carolina and every state. It's also broken down by congressional district, so you can look at District 5, for example, which is the district I'm in, has the most jobs supported by EXIM. They have the most small business policies. There's also a GE manufacturing plant there. So we're talking about upwards of 1,000 jobs that could be lost just in District 5. But you can go and select by district. You can look at all of the numbers all over the United States. You can look at names of clients that use EXIM. That would be where I would direct people to go to get the kind of information to answer the question.
Just to follow up on that earlier part of your description, the month of September, you said 10 small businesses lost their insurance. That equated to $4.65 million in lost sales. If you look at that as 10 businesses, that's an average of $465,000 in sales lost. Could that put a small business out of business?
There are businesses right now in North Carolina that I will tell you, without hesitation, will go out of business. I can name them right off the top of my head. I won't, obviously, that's confidential information, but I know for a fact that businesses will go out if they're no longer able to get EXIM support. Because a lot of businesses only export, and all of their capital, their working capital, is tied up with export receivables. And if they can't get working capital, continue their business, if they can't get additional buyers to sell to, they will go out of business. A lot of them work on very, very small margins. This is critical for their survival.
The U.S. Export-Import Bank lost its charter on June 30th. This is being held up on Capitol Hill at the moment. The charter, or the bank, in a sense, helps approve new applications for overseas buyers to get financing to purchase U.S. products. Kathy Edwards is the president and founder of Global Business Solutions. They are a risk mitigation firm. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for your expertise in explaining the Export-Import Bank.
Thanks for having me, Josh. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.